time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview, and it is going to be a great one, we're going to set the tone with just a little bit of live music. This is Rejoice, Just Do It, and it is performed by DJ Law. Sit back and enjoy.
Rejoice, rejoice, we just do it. Rejoice in the Lord, my Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, just do it. Already, I know he brought me through. Oh my God, loving, loving your precepts. Precepts, it's freedom like recess. Living blessed, the best, what peace says. And peace says, I'm eat what he says. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Following your statutes. Walking out Beatitudes. 100, Rick Franklin, some Chase too. I glue, got rules, he's my pursuit. Whatever's true, right, and lovely. Lovely, noble, admirable, not ugly.
Yes, sir.
Pure, excellent, praiseworthy.
Worthy.
I'ma focus on these, just do it like Nike. Rejoice,
rejoice,
we just do it. Rejoice in the Lord, my Lord. Loving your precepts.
Precepts.
It's freedom like recess. Living blessed, the best, what peace says. And peace says, I'm eat what he says. Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Following your statutes. Walking out the Beatitudes. 100, Rick Franklin, some Chase too. I clue, got rules, he's my pursuit. Whatever's true, right, and lovely. Noble, admirable, not ugly.
Yes, sir.
Pure, excellent, praiseworthy.
Worthy.
I'ma focus on these, just do it like Nike. Rejoice,
rejoice,
we just do it. Rejoice in the Lord, my Lord. Rejoice,
rejoice,
just do it. Already, I know he brought me through. Rejoice,
rejoice,
we just do it. Rejoice in the Lord, my Lord. Rejoice,
rejoice,
just do it. Already, I know he brought me through. Whatever's true, right, and lovely,
lovely, noble.
Well, welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. First thing I want to say is Happy New Year, everyone. We are so happy that you have tuned in to us, to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show at the beginning of the year. And we have so many exciting things coming up, starting with our interview for today. And we hope you enjoyed Rejoice, Just Do It. I think that is the perfect way to start off our new year. We want to bless God and we want to rejoice in Him in this new year. No matter what happened last year, this is a new time. Like, the whole year has rolled over, and I know that the Lord has blessings and coverings and peace and joy in store for you this new year. So we're so glad that you are with us. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out all of the great information about Love Ministries. Just go to their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. Love Ministries has so many programs going on for young people and so many opportunities for you to volunteer. So make sure you go to loveministriesbuilds.org. Well, I am very excited about our interview today. We are welcoming back patent attorney Spencer Jones. Welcome back, Spencer.
Yes, thank you for having me back again. I'm excited to be here and certainly want to wish a happy new year to our listeners as well as we're entering to a new decade.
Yes.
2020.
2020, a new decade. I didn't think about that. Yes, this is huge. So as we are thinking about it, all of us here at Every Heart, Every Woman Radio, as we're thinking about the new year, one of the things that came up in our conversation was our businesses. We want to make sure that we have everything in place. We want to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for success. We want the Lord to bless the work of our hands. And so we know that there are some things, Spencer, that we want to make sure that we have in place for our businesses. So we're so thankful that you're here. And I just have some questions that I really would love for you to cover for our listeners.
Yes, I'm looking forward to sharing a little bit of information. And so certainly I do want to say that the information shared today, that it is for general information purposes only, and it's not to be construed as specific legal advice for our listeners. But we are happy and excited to share some great things with our listeners today.
Right. All right. Well, let's kind of jump into some things. There are some people that reach out to us from the last time that you were on the radio show, and they had some questions along the lines of, okay, I've invented something, but I kind of think it's small. It's not, you know, something huge, and it's not all the way thought through. It's just, you know, something that I'm kicking around in my head or something that I've tried to invent and it's not, you know, all the way there. You know, people were thinking, it's just something small. If I have an invention, but it's, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly where it's going to go in the marketplace, or I think it's small in my head, in my eyes, should I reach out to you as a patent attorney?
I would say, yes, certainly. You can always feel free to reach out. There's no harm in doing that.
Yeah.
And so I would, you know, welcome you and encourage you to reach out to me or to another qualified patent attorney just to have a discussion about that. I would say before you reach out, though, one thing that you may want to do is to go ahead and write what you have down.
Okay.
And I say write. I know we're in the digital age now.
Right.
But capture it in some form, you know, whether it's digitally or, again, on pen to paper. But, yeah, go ahead and get it down. You know, even the Bible talks to us about, instructs us, you know, to write down the vision and make it plain.
Absolutely.
So go ahead and get it fixed. Oftentimes we find that helps, you know, solidify things in our minds. Oftentimes when we take that time to write it down, it may spark additional improvements or additional things to think about for your idea or your invention. So certainly write it down. As well as that's a very good place to start.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. When I'm kicking around ideas about different things, especially about music, that's the first thing that comes to mind. The best thing to do is to go ahead and write your thoughts down so that you can see how you want to structure everything. And the one specific person that reached out and said, I think my thoughts are so small. A lot of times when we get our thoughts down, then we can see how valuable they are, right?
Yes, that is correct. And I know a lot of times people kind of have the perception that you've got to have this stroke of genius and it's got to be something new and never
mm-hmm.
thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, those things can be obviously profitable and potentially valuable. But also there are some improvements of things that are already existing
that
can be protectable, you know, under the law, that can also be just as valuable and beneficial, you know, for yourself, your family, and for the world at large. And so, you know, it's important to never discount, you know, what God has given you in ingenuity and innovation. But yeah, get it down on paper, think about it, pray about it, do some research, you know, and see maybe has anybody else thought about this before? Has anybody else tried and failed? You know, that may spur off some additional thoughts or different ways to think about it. And even just to let you know what's generally out there in that field that your idea or invention may relate to.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's great advice, Spencer. Well, I want to ask you about your philosophy as a patent attorney. How do you approach your business?
Yeah, so in my practice of law, my approach is I'm dedicated to helping creators, inventors, entrepreneurs, and businesses protect their intellectual property and leverage it for success.
Mm-hmm. So what, and when we say intellectual property, what, can you break that word, those two words down for
yes,
us?
Yes. It's not as difficult as what it sounds.
Okay.
But generally, when we talk about intellectual property, kind of the main buckets that we're typically referring to relate to patents, copyrights, trademarks, trade dress, and trade secrets.
Okay. So on that list, that covers so many different things. So that's why I encourage people to move past that thinking that what you've invented is something small. There have been several things that are, you know, myself and Dr. Nivens have come up with that we've needed either a trademark for or a copyright for. You know, there are so many different things that you should seek out to protect the idea and the dreams that the Lord has given you.
Yes, yes, that's very true. And so I think a lot of times, or I should say sometimes, it seems a daunting task in terms of, because it's hard for people to understand. They don't know where to even start.
Right.
You know, I can't count on my hands the number of times people will come up and say, you know, hey, I have this great idea. I think I need to get it copyrighted. And actually, you know, copyright protection may not even be the proper protection.
Right, right.
But it's in the intellectual property family. And so that's why you reach out to attorney to, you know, give you some guidance and kind of explain the different rights, the differences, and even from a strategic standpoint, what may be best for what you're trying to accomplish.
Right, 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 right. So I want to encourage our listeners, number one, and I'm going to do this a lot this year in 2020. I want all of our listeners to, number one, get over fear. You know, don't tell yourself no. When I'm presenting to different organizations, women and young people, that is one of my main things. Stop telling yourself no. I know that that is one of the things that we all deal with because it's one of the things that I struggle with. I have a thought and I think either I'm too busy or I'm not smart enough to do it or I don't know the first steps. I don't even know step number one. And so I tell myself no. So I want to encourage all of our listeners, this is the year that you take your business from a dream to actually doing it in the world, because there are people that are waiting for the invention the Lord has given you. And so you need to go ahead and take these steps. So number one, you're going to write your vision down.
Yes.
Right, Spencer? And then you're going to reach out and to an attorney and get all of the copyrights and all of the trademarks and everything that you need so that you can move forward with what God has called you to do.
Yes. And I think it's so huge that you talk about, you know, not talking yourself out of really what God has called you to do. If God gives you, you know, that thought, that invention, I believe it's from God. And so I believe that's something God has given you to pursue. And so, yeah, just like you said, even for me, making sure that I don't talk myself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I thought about was that making sure that we don't allow others, you know, or maybe circumstances around us to talk us out of those things that God has given us. So certainly we want to encourage our listeners and business owners today. The 2020 is not the year, it's not the start of a new decade for you to talk yourself out of
Amen.
What God has called you to do.
Amen. Amen. That is good. So Okay, the next question. At what point in my business should I reach out to you as attorney? Because maybe, number one, I'm just starting, like we've already covered, or number two, I've been going on for, you know, 3 to 5 years, and, you know, either I'm doing pretty well at the level that I'm at right now, or I see potential for growth, but, you know, I haven't made sure that I've done every single thing that I needed to do in these 3 to 5 years in order to see the growth that I need. So at what point should I reach out to an attorney?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a very attorney-like answer, if I can use that phrase.
Okay.
That you should really seek to get legal advice or legal counsel when there's a legal question that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of matter or instance that's come up that has legal ramifications attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can kind of explain that in a little bit more plain language, is that really sooner is better than later.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand a lot of times, you know, from a cost perspective, you know, that may warrant people or cause people to desire to wait until the very last minute.
Right.
That, you know, until they contact an attorney. But really, just to have a conversation, you know, or if something seems a little unclear or you're unsure in your gut, you feel like, I'm not mm-hmm. sure about this. I may need, that's a good time to contact. And, you know, if you find an attorney that's trustworthy, then they'll let you know, hey, you know, you don't necessarily need to do this. You don't necessarily need to incur these types of costs at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you should think about this in preparation. So when you get to that point, you know, then you can come back and we can help you out. So I say all that to say if it's a clear legal question involved, it's time to speak to an attorney. And really, sooner is better than later.
Right, right. You know, I was just thinking that, you know, for the people who have been going for 3 to 5 years and you want to see that next level of growth, but maybe you're afraid to talk to an attorney for different reasons. You named finances one of them. Finances are they're on all of our minds.
Yes.
All of our minds. So there are several different reasons why you may be holding yourself back from reaching out to an attorney. I am a firm believer of getting prepared before I need a certain thing, you know. So I want to reach out to an attorney from the beginning so that I can have so that I'm ready for the type of growth in my business that is inevitably going to come my way as I continue to till the ground, as I continue to work and grow, as years continue to pass. But if I wait until the growth is already there and I've got so many orders of something, or, you know, and the thing is blowing up in my face, you know, and which is good, you know, mm-hmm. my invention is blowing up, but I never did the things that I should do in the beginning, then I won't be ready for my business to take off and grow, right?
Yes, that is correct. And in some cases, you may have, failing to reach out to someone that can provide you that type of assistance beforehand, you may have already made some decisions for yourself that may limit your ability by the, you know, when you actually do contact, you know, an attorney or somebody that's able to help you out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I would say, you know, sooner is better than later. And then realize that, you know, we are in the information age. You know, God has blessed us with technology. And so there are a wealth of resources that you can even access yourself to kind of help get you prepared for that step. And one I'll even say is, you know, the United States Patent and Trademark Office website. www.uspto.gov is a great resource for intellectual property related matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do a great job of laying out and having FAQs and tutorials and even videos okay. that you can watch that explain the basics mm-hmm. of intellectual property, the basics of patent law, the basics of copyrights, the basics of trademarks, and you know, how you can do searches in their repositories for trademarks and for patents. And I can go on and on and on, mm-hmm. but there's a wealth of information just literally there where they walk you through and they cater to, you know, individual inventors and small businesses to just help you kind of get over that fear of, I don't know where to start.
Right, right. That's good. Okay, so can you give us that website again?
Yes. So it's USPTO.gov.
Okay. USPTO.gov. And we'll say that a couple of times.
Yes. The USPTO stands again for the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Okay, wonderful. That's great information. Thanks, Spencer. So let me ask you this. How do you define success for your clients?
Yeah, so for me, success for my clients is helping my clients, you know, accomplish or reach the goals and objectives that they have set for the matter that we're working on.
Okay.
Okay. Now, in my years of practice, I've learned that a lot of times, you know, the goals that we may start out when we have that initial conversation, mm-hmm. that they may change because mm-hmm. the reality is that, you know, the law is flexible. Facts sometimes they change or you know, new facts come to light
right.
after, you know, after the time that we had our first conversation. So we may need to adjust, you know, the goals and whatnot. And then the matter may relate to, you know, an opposing party or somebody else's rights. And so because of those things, you know, again, the goals and objectives may need to be rightly adjusted mm-hmm. as we start down that path. But ultimately, my goal and my job is to help my clients, you know, reach the goals that they're trying to accomplish, to be able to, you know, if it's secure rights for their inventions, for their ideas, for their trademarks, their business names, the goodwill associated with it, or if it's, you know, asserting those rights if someone's infringed upon their intellectual property rights. So mm-hmm. ultimately, I want to help them reach, you know, the goals and objectives that they've set.
Okay. So, and then my follow-up question to that is, if someone comes to you, and again, they're at the beginning stages, and so is there a way for you to help them kind of form what their goals are?
Yes, yes. And so certainly for me, in my practice, not only am I an attorney, but mm-hmm. I'm a legal counselor.
Yes.
And
yes.
so that's a big thing to me in terms of the way that I approach my practice is that I really want to be able to help and guide my clients in navigating, you know, the legal landscape.
Yes.
And so with that, and you know, I don't attempt or try to make decisions for them, mm-hmm. but help them, you know, find blind spots, mm-hmm. help them get and understand and even be a little more educated about their rights and the options available for them. And so then they can make an informed decision about which way they want to go, you know, the cost that they want to incur
right.
in order to reach that. And then ultimately, you know, understanding, okay, these are realistic goals and objectives. Mm-hmm. And then how can we get there?
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. So I think what that really does, that statement that you just gave, that truth that you just gave, really helps all of the listeners know that, okay, it's okay to reach out to you as a patent attorney or someone else if they have someone else trusted that they know in their lives, because what you can do is set a goal that is reachable for you.
Yes.
Yes. So it doesn't have to be something that's beyond your reach. And if you're thinking, man, finances is my main, you know, block that I'm trying to move around, well, you can set your goal according to what is reachable for you and what's reachable for your budget.
Yes, you can absolutely do that. And so for me, again, you know, flexible practice, that's what we want to do is we want to help our clients achieve the goals that are right size for their circumstances.
Yes, yes. So that's good. That's good. So we hopefully this conversation, Spencer, is really putting everyone at ease and really giving them the just opening up some freedom for them to say, okay, I can do this. You know, I can reach out. I can take the next steps. I can do what's needed for my business.
Yes, that's a good word. Freedom to accomplish what God has called you to do.
Very good. So listen, everyone, it's time for us to take a break. We've got some more questions. We will be right back in just a minute.
Listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. We are having a great conversation with patent attorney Spencer Jones. We are, of course, Spencer, facing the new year, and we're so excited that all of our listeners have tuned in to us. I know that for me, especially at the end of 2019, I had several different singing engagements and different things that I have done. And I've got a chance to talk with listeners face to face. I've met new listeners that have tuned in and spoken with them. And everyone is very thankful for the show. So we are so thankful for all of our listeners. And we're excited for 2020. For me, I have a book out, True Leaders with Heart.
Woo, woo, woo. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So there are several questions that I have, you know, for my business and several questions that I know some of our listeners have. And Spencer Jones, patent attorney at law, I mean, you are really taking us through some things that we need to know and giving us some freedom and some courage to be able to take the steps to make sure that we are doing the things that we need to do to protect the inventions and the ingenuity that the Lord has given us. And so I know that you've brought an example for us. Last time you brought some great examples, and our listeners reached out to me and said they enjoyed hearing those examples that you brought. So did you bring some good examples for us today?
Yes. So I would love to share with our listeners an inventor who's actually inducted into the Inventors Hall of Fame in 2006. And the inventor's name is Josephine Garris Cochran. And Cochran family, please forgive me if I didn't pronounce that exactly correct. We'll get that out at the start. But she had an issue. She realized that when her fine china was being washed, it was getting chipped. It was being hand washed. It was getting chipped. Hmm. So she had an idea to protect her fine china and avoid hand dishwashing and coming up with an invention for a better dishwashing machine.
Okay.
So she conceived a mechanical solution that made the job easier for herself and for others. And it's reported that Ms. Cochran vowed, if nobody else is going to invent a dishwashing machine, I'll do it myself. And so she quickly sketched out a design. It's reported that she would later complain, I couldn't get men to do the things I wanted in my way until they had tried and failed in their own. And that was very costly for me. They knew I knew nothing academically about mechanics, and they insisted on having their own way with my invention until they convinced themselves my way was the better way, no matter how I arrived at it. So get this. Ms. Cochran filed her first patent application on New Year's Eve in 1885 as J.G. Cochran.
Okay.
And it's believed that she used J.G. because obviously at that time, you know, society thought a little bit differently about women.
Right.
Thank God as we do now.
Right.
And so she just used her initials, J.G. Cochran.
Okay.
So just after Christmas, almost a year later, in 1886, she received a U.S. patent for her dishwashing machine. And so although she was not the first to invent a dishwashing machine, hers was the first to use water pressure rather than scrubbers to clean the dishes, and it had racks specifically fitted to hold the dishes in place. And her dishwasher was actually exhibited at the World's Fair, what was essentially the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893, and a number of restaurants actually used it at that time.
All right.
And so the last little bit of information I'll share is her invention was literally ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
It was greatly received at that time, but, you know, because of technology, it really, technology wasn't to the place where they could even use it in the homes regularly at that time. But in 1950, it actually really took off, and dishwashers that were based off of her design literally revolutionized dishwashing, you know, in this world. So I thought that was a great example to share in terms of how someone that had to, as a woman, really kind of contend for her invention because of societal thoughts about, you know, it coming from a woman and so on at that point. But it was literally ahead of its time, and it changed, you know, the industry. How many of us now are thankful for being able to have revolutionized dishwashing machine? I don't know about you, but scrubbing dishes by hand is not one of my, you know, most desired tasks.
Right. Right. Yeah. So thank you so much for bringing that. I mean, there's so many things that we can get out of that. You know, number one, like you said, her having to stick with it and have tenacity during that time, because like you said, what does a woman, well, like you, you know, shared, what does a woman know about science and ingenuity and everything? But listen, everything. She knew everything about it.
Exactly.
She was able to, yes. So that's wonderful. So I hope, you know, our listeners are really gaining some courage here, you know, through that story and through the things that you're sharing with us. We don't have to worry if our idea is before its time. I believe that when it's from the Lord, it probably is before its time, you know?
Yes, yes. And I think sometimes, you know, as society, we get in this mold of things having to look like everybody else's, and it has to come in a certain way or come in a certain package. But like you said, that when God gives us something, that we can have confidence in that. And so we can be okay. And from God's mind, it's not supposed to look like everybody else's.
Right.
It's not supposed to come in the exact same, you know, way and form or how society has determined that it should come. And so we can be confident in God and confident in the ingenuity that he gives us and begin to take those steps forward.
Right.
And not even, you know, to shrink back if we face opposition or if we face naysayers. Oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, you don't have the education for that. Oh, you don't have the money for this. Hey, if God says that you can do it, you can do it.
You can do it. You can do it. So just pick up your courage, pick up your peace, pick up your joy. And I say that because I say that to myself. I'm not just saying some things that I'm, you know, picking out of the air. These are the things that I have to say, even to myself, to continue to move forward. Go ahead and do it. I've shared often on this radio show, when the Lord gave me this idea, my first answer was, no, I don't want to do that. And, you know, the Lord said, okay, if you don't do it, I'm going to give this idea to someone else, which then sparked my interest. I was like, okay, wait. Don't give it to someone else. My real answer is, I just don't know how to do this. You know, I don't know the first step, but I can share with you, after doing this radio show for going on 2 years, we're in our second year now, you can figure it out. You know, you can start writing your ideas down. You can start talking to people. You can reach out to attorneys, reach out to counsel. You can get great counsel, and you can achieve whatever it is the Lord has called you to do.
Yes, that is great. And, you know, I think about how, you know, the Lord will open doors. And so we just have to look for him to open doors and to bring resources our way, you know, to help us in those areas that we may not have the skill set, you know, or the abilities just within us. And that's the way that the Lord works. He works through us and he connects people. And so even in this story about Miss Cochran, that she was actually widowed not that long after she came up with her idea. And so you think about that at that time, in the 1800s, you know, it was close to the turn of a century, but she was a widowed woman on her own. But somehow the Lord provided a way for her to get, you know, with an attorney to be able to file the patents.
Right.
She actually started a company, a Garris Cochran dishwashing company, that later, you know, was part of KitchenAid. Actually, that, you know, is still around today.
It's huge.
It's huge. And so that just goes to show that the Lord opened doors and provided the resources that she needs to be able to accomplish what God had given her.
Amen. That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Spencer, for bringing that that example to us. Now, I want to ask you this. So say, you know, I'm listening and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to reach out to either you or to another trusted patent attorney, a trusted attorney. What can I expect?
So, one thing that you can expect is typically, you know, when we have initial consultation, for the attorney, it's somewhat of a fact gathering, time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're looking just to be able to illuminate some areas maybe that you know, the potential client has not thought about, and then help us to be able to get the information we need from the potential client so that we can advise them, you know, in terms of their specific situation. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, it'll be a few questions just about, okay, hey, what did you have in mind? Okay. And, you know, as they lay it out, then it's, you know, thinking about different things, you know, oftentimes things will just be sparked in my mind from, you know, practicing law for the time that I have and, you know, my background in technology or whatnot. Hey, have you thought about this? Or, hey, how did you do this? Or, you know, those types of things. And so then we kind of lay out, you know, and arrive at a pretty good place of, you know, what they have and then what they're wanting to do. What are they wanting to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of the starting point.
Okay. Very good. So, honestly, you just laid that out, and that doesn't seem painful at all.
I would hope it isn't. And really, it really isn't. I hope I can allay some of those fears.
Yes.
That really, you know, and certainly in my practice, I try to make it just having a conversation like we're having now. Just talk through, okay, yeah, well, you know, what problem does your idea or invention solve? Okay, how did you come about this?
Right.
Okay, did you look at some other things, you know, in the industry that may relate or potential competitors? What were they doing? Okay, how did that influence, you know, your thought process or how did you came up with your invention?
Right. Yeah, that's wonderful because sometimes people are thinking, well, I don't know if I should reach out to attorney. Am I going to feel dumb? Am I going to sound dumb? You know, and, you know, that kind of thing. Even the doctor, people don't want to go to the doctor because they don't, you know, they don't want to look a certain way. But, you know, the process can be painless and is just getting the information, getting the facts, setting the groundwork. And, you know, and that's painless.
It certainly can be very painless. And I do want to add this as well, that that it is good to do some initial prep work. And mm-hmm. so, as I mentioned before, you know, if you have an idea or whatnot, write it down. Maybe some questions you think you have, bullet point those, just to make sure that you're getting, you know, your questions answered while you're speaking with the attorney. And then I also wanted to provide some resources that you can look at, particularly if you have an invention or something that you feel like gives you a competitive advantage in the industry, mm-hmm. That you can look and see what others are doing. And so maybe if you hadn't realized, but Google is actually a good place to start. For example, they have a search called Google Scholar, where it's a repository of dissertations and articles and trade manuals and things of that nature, where you can just do like a Google search basically, mm-hmm. And it'll find for you articles that are related to that subject matter that you're searching for. So that's a great resource.
Okay.
They also have a Google Patents resource where you can go and search through United States patents. And so you can type in, you know, a word, just search just like you do in regular Google,
mm-hmm.
and it'll bring back patents and patent application, published patent applications.
Okay.
And then, of course, I mentioned before, the USPTO.gov. They mm-hmm. have the patent section, and they have a database that houses a wealth of issued patents as well as published patent applications that you can search through and get an idea if somebody has kind of already thought about your invention mm-hmm. or maybe something similar to that.
Okay. All right. So, and then here's the thing that's in my head is at the start of a new year, you know, most businesses want to make sure that all of their I's are dotted and all of their T's are crossed. Spencer, can you tell us your top 3 to 5 things business owners should make sure they are doing?
Yes. So, and some of this is kind of keyed towards intellectual property work.
Yes.
But some of it applies just in general. So the first thing I would start with is identify whether there's anything that you've developed or that you're currently using that gives you a competitive advantage over your competitors.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that. Okay. So everyone should go through their day-to-day things that they're doing and see what can give you an advantage over the other people that are doing the same things that you're doing. Because one of the things that comes out when you're doing a business plan, it teaches you to go and study your other competitors, see what they're doing, see what their costs are, you know, be informed about how you stack up against your other competitors. So I'm glad that you bring that up.
Yes, yes. That is a very critical exercise. And so, you know, it can help you kind of get a sense of maybe you're doing something that nobody else is doing. And, it may be protectable and under trade secret protection. And so there may be some things that you need to set up around that to protect it. Or it may be something that's protectable, you know, under our patent laws. And so mm-hmm. there's kind of a different approach that you take with respect to that. So again, it's good to just start and get a sense for, hey, is there something here that I'm doing or the way that I do or an improvement on something
mm-hmm.
that gives me that competitive advantage?
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Okay, what's your second thing?
Okay, the second thing is consider whether there are any licenses, permits, or other government regulations or recent changes that your business needs to be in compliance with.
Okay. Okay, so can you break that down for us a little bit?
Yes.
I'm like, okay.
So in your business, whether you're, you know, producing a product or if you're a service-based business, there may be some things, you know, either licenses that you need to have in order to practice your business.
Mm-hmm.
Or there may be, you know, some local ordinances that say that you have to operate your business in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I'm talking about. So again, this goes beyond intellectual property, but
okay.
just in general, there may be some requirements or obligations, you know, by either the local authorities, government authorities,
mm-hmm.
or even from a national perspective that you need to comply with. So you want to get a sense for what are those things? Okay, am I in compliance? Okay, and if not, then what do I need to do to make sure that I'm in compliance?
That's good. So if you're looking at your business and you're trying to make sure that you are in compliance and you have all the licenses that you need, is that something that maybe I need to ask an attorney about, or is there a website for different things that I can go to try to get some information about that?
Yeah. So the answer is kind of it depends.
Okay.
But I will say this to provide a little bit more clarity. Yes, you can always go to an attorney and ask. And so one reason why I say it depends, because based on your business,
mm-hmm.
Where those requirements may come from, it may be very different.
Right.
And it may, you know, typically attorneys don't practice in all areas of the law. They have their own, you know, areas of specialty. And so it may be in one or more or several different areas. So that's why it's very key that I said, you know, one, look at your competitors and mm-hmm. even look at, we would say, the big box competitors or the okay. main players in the industry.
Okay.
Because typically they're complying with
right.
you know, the main things that you need to comply with.
Right.
So that will give you at least a good baseline to think about, okay, yeah, you know, if it's a product, hey, they have these, you know, things on their packaging. So that may mean I you know, if I'm selling a similar product, I may need to be in compliance with
right.
with the packaging requirements.
Right.
And what they do may be a good baseline or a starting point for what I need to do. The other thing I would say is, If you're not involved with a local, you know, small business association, I would encourage you to do that
okay.
because that is another great resource that can put you in touch with folks that know those areas
right.
that you need to be in compliance with
right.
in your specific area. And oftentimes these local associations, they provide either free training or training at minimal cost,
right.
At least initial training to help you in various areas in terms of related to marketing, related to taxing, related to developing your business plan,
mm-hmm.
A lot of different areas, you know, and they have relationships oftentimes with the colleges and universities. So that brings up another area of resources that you can, mm-hmm. can maybe access. And a lot of times, again, these are at, you know, initially free cost or low cost. So I encourage you, if you haven't checked that out, check out your local, you know, small business association, chamber of commerce, those types of organizations.
That's great advice. One of the things that I've done is I've reached out to other female business owners that their business kind of parallels what I do, music, radio, you know, Christian entertainment type things, worship. And I've come up with 5 to 6 questions that I want to ask them. I send it to them ahead of time and I ask them to go to lunch with me and I pay for their lunch and I just go to those questions and go through those questions. And I send it to them ahead of time so that they know exactly what I'm the information that I'm going after. Most people are so excited to share their experience because they remember when they were where you are. And, you know, they want you to have information. They want you to have an easier time. Someone helped them, so they want to reach out and help you. So that's good that you bring that up, Spencer.
Yes, and that is a great approach, and that's networking.
Yes.
That's business networking.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's many times it's very critical to businesses and small businesses. And it makes me think about even, you know, pray about it. Ask God for, you know, a mentor or a business person or persons
yes.
that you can reach out to and
yes.
that can help you navigate some of those places and spaces.
Yes. That's so good. So, Spencer, we're getting close to our time. I bet you have more, right? So we're going to have to ask you to come back another time.
Sounds great to me.
Yes, we're going to have to ask you to come back. Spencer, tell us your website and how people can get in contact with you.
Yes. So a great way to get in contact with me is through my website. It's www.spencerjoneslaw.com.
Okay. And so Spencer, S-P-E-N-C-E-R.
JonesLaw.com.
There you go. Very good. So everyone, reach out to Spencer Jones. This is a new year, 2020. We are going to not be afraid of making sure our businesses are set up the way they should be, making sure that our ingenuity is covered, the ideas that the Lord is giving us, that we are moving forward in those ideas. And we're just going to tell ourselves, yes, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can figure it out. Yes, I'm following the Holy Spirit. Yes, you know, I can do this. I also want to let everyone know that on January 11th, I'm having a book signing. Go to my website, CarlaNivens.com for all of the information about how to meet me at my book signing. Our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Thank you so much, Spencer. We wish everyone a happy new year, and we'll see you back here next week.